Okay, so with your permission, we'll go back to this piece in Shmini Atzeres. For those who have the Sefer, it's on page 123, Kuf Chav Gimel. And for those who don't, we have a PDF on the screen for you to see. And then Emirat Hashem Monday, we'll be able to be together. Make sure you get your PCRs and whatnot taken care of. Okay, but Shmini Atzeres. This is when you're Tafshin Aleph. So that means 1940, approaching 1941 of the secular calendar. But Tavshin Aleph, the new year of the Jewish calendar. Okay, so it says, "Bayom Hashmini Atzeres Tialachem Kol Malachas Avoda Lo Sasu." Again, in the edition that we use in Shir, it quotes the Psukim. Shmini Atzeres is a day where we don't do malacha, and we bring karbanos, and we bring par echad ayel echad kivasim b'nei shana shiva tamimim. So the Medrash Tanchuma tells us the following: Isa b'Medrash Rabbi Tanchuma. That's what Reish Tav stands for on the screen. Again, in our edition, it's spelled out. Isa b'medrash Rebbe Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma tells us the following mashal. Mashal l'melech she'asa su'uda shiva yamim, v'zimein kol b'nei amadinam b'shivas yamei amishta. Imagine a king made a big party, and he invited everyone from the kingdom to come to celebrate for 7 days. Keivan she'avru shivas yamei amishta. But once the 7 days of celebration were over, which he threw for the entire kingdom, Amr la'oavo, he turned to his beloved friend, his dear confidant, and he said, "Kvar yatzanu yudecha v'seinu b'kol b'nei ha'medina. We fulfilled our obligation, to everyone. Now it's time for a special, different type of get-together. Nigalgel ani va'ata b'masha timtza b'litra shel basar, o litra shel dag, o yerek." Right, so now he says to his friend, he says, let's forbring together with a little bit of meat, a little bit of fish, a little bit of vegetables. We had the big party, we happened already, but now let's have a little fabrangin, just me and you. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Li Yisrael. Shmini Atzeres is the day where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Bnei Yisrael, we've been bringing karbanos, we brought karbanos over the course of the entire sukkah. We brought all sorts of karbanos. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Klal Yisrael on Shmini Atzeres, which is not, again, on the one hand it's the end of Sukkot, on the other hand it's its own Yom Tov. And we say, Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, Kol HaKarbanos Shekravtim B'Shivas Yimei HaChag Al Umas HaOlam Ha'isim Makrivim. All the karbanos that we brought until now are brought on behalf of the world. Aval Bayom HaShmini, but now on this eighth and final day, Nigalgel Ani V'Atem B'Masha Atem Otzien Par Echad V'Ayel Echad Adkan Lashon HaKadosh. Adkan, the words of the Medrash. On the eighth day, Hashem says, we're bringing all sorts of karbanos, lots of karbanos, many bulls over the course of many days, 70 bulls, a little bit of meat, a little bit of fish, a little bit of vegetables, and we're going to get together and have a good time. So the Rebbe wonders the following question. V'tzarech lomar, v'tzarech lahavin. Ma merames lanu zos, shenagalgil belitra basar dug o yerek, V'lama be'emes lo yakrivu b'yom hashmini b'simchas Yisrael gam kein karbanos rabim k'mo b'chol hachag. The Rebbe asks a simple question. Right? So we brought bulls, many karbanos, over the course of 7 days, a total of 70 offerings. Right, and we highlighted in the Musaf that we say each day of Sukkot. That's why the Musaf changes from one day to the next as we decrease the number of bulls for a grand total of 70. So now Hashem says, now I want a day that's just miyuchad for Klal Yisrael. So why does it have to be a small party? Why can't it be a lot of karbanos? If you brought a lot of karbanos, if the nations of the world, so to speak, had all these karbanos, so why can't we bring a lot of karbanos? Why dafka, a little bit of meat, a little bit of fish, a little bit of vegetables? Why can't it be a lot of karbanos? That's the Rebbe's question. Why can't the simcha of the Jewish people, alone with Hashem, be many karbanos like it was over the course of the entire sukkah? Okay, so to answer that question, the Rebbe takes us on an adventure. He takes us into a very interesting Gemara in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, "Ve'efshar ki isa b'Sanhedrin, tzadi aleph amud beis, amr b'chia bar abba amr b'yoichanan, asidin kol hanaviim kulam omrim shira b'kol echad." In the future, all of the prophets are going to sing song with one voice. Shenemar, as the Navi Yeshaya says, Kol tzofayich nasu kol, yachdav yiranenu. Kol tzofayich, the voice of tzofayich, they will raise up their voice and Yachdav Yiranenu, they'll sing together. However, which word in this pasuk in Yeshaya means Navi? Tzofayich. Kol Tzofayich. What does the word Tzofa mean? What's a Tzofa? What's a Tzofa? I don't recognize that word. What's the root of that word? What's the intention of that word? What does it mean to be Mitzapa for Mashiach?
To yearn.
To yearn. Right? Another way we would say to yearn is to look forward to. Right? Interesting. That expression is an interesting expression. Again, one of these words that we just say we don't think of. To look forward means to have a futuristic vision. Right? To look beyond the moment. A tzofa means a person of what? A person of vision. A person of futuristic, of broad perspective. Right? A tzofa is like a person in a watchtower who's able to look down and see everything down below. So the Rebbe says, first of all, what does it mean that the Nevi'im are all going to sing Shira in one voice? What does that even mean? Right, do Nevi'im sing songs? Is that what their primary job is? Let's ask further. Hashem b'pasuk hazeh peirush Rashi. Rashi explains, what does it mean? Why are they called tzofayich? Poshut tzofim shema'amidin al chomos. A tzofa is like a person who stands on a wall or on a tower. Levaser, in order to what? Levaser means, like the Eliyahu is the Mavaser, Hagu'ula, to inform and to report what they see in the city down below. So that's a very interesting term to call a Navi a tzofa. Is a Navi, what does the word Navi mean? What does the word Navi itself mean? We actually have a pasuk in the Navi where it says that the Navi is sometimes referred to as the Ro'eh, the seer. Right? What we call the Navi in the olden days was called the Ro'eh. What is the difference between a Navi and a Ro'eh? Ro'eh means a person of vision. Tzofayich means a person of vision. Navi is milashon niv svasayim, a spokesman. A person who what? Who shares a spoken message. The Navi transmits a message from Hashem to the Jewish people. So whenever we call a Navi a tzofa, a person of vision, we have to think about that. Because it's a little bit of a different role that a Navi plays than being a Navi, a person who transmits something with speech. Okay? So the Rebbe says, Aval zeh eino kushya. Ki kama pamim muskar b'gemara tzofim al neviyim. The term tzofim is not a term that is unfamiliar to us in the context of a Navi, because the Gemara refers to prophets as tzofim. Anyone who's learned the first daf of Maseches Megillah knows that when it talks about the final letters, right, the Mem Sofit and the Nun Sofit and the Tzadi Sofit and the Fei Sofit and the Chaf Sofit, the Gemara there says that Manzapach, or Manatzpach, however you like to pronounce it, Tzofim Omrum. The final letters, the Sofit letters, the five Sofit letters were what? Were declared, were established by the Tzofim, by the Nevi'im. Interesting that the Gemara chose the word Tzofim. Ubatach b'chol makom hu bekavana. And therefore, any time we see, it's certain that any time that we see the term tzofim being used, it must be teaching us something. So we have two examples of tzofim. We have a Gemara in Sanhedrin that tells us that, explaining a pasuk in Yeshaya, that in the future the tzofim are going to sing in a singular voice. And we have a Gemara in Megillah that says that the sofit letters, the final letters, right, the endemem, the endenun, the Nun Sofit, the Sa'adi Sofit, the Fei Sofit, the Chaf Sofit, were established by the prophets who are called Tzofim. So, however, what is the secret of Tzofim? And what is the secret of the Sofit letters, right? Don't be confused. There's Tzofim with the Tzadi, and then Sofit, right? The final letters. The letters that conclude words, the Mem Sofit, Nun Sofit, etc. So the Rebbe explains something very, very important to know. V'efshar lomer, we could say the following. Shisham v'kan remez echad lanu ramis. Both over there in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and over here in the Gemara in Megillah, or there and here, whatever you call there and here, in both these sources, right, it's referring to one message. It's expressing the same idea. What is that idea? The Sofit letters, the five final letters, Mem, Nun, Tzadi, Pei, and Chaf, are associated with Midas Hadin. There's a lot to say about that. The gematria actually of Mem, Nun, Tzadi, Pei, Chaf is 280, which corresponds to the par dinim, or the par gvuros, the 280 expressions of midas hadin, which again, there's a lot to talk about there. But on a very simple level, the Rebbe explains to us, why is it that the osios hakfelos, that these letters which are repeated, that we write them differently, if it's a regular mem or if it's a mem sofit, a regular nun or a nun sofit, a regular tzadi or a tzadi sofit, why are the sofit letters bechinas din? So the Rebbe gives a very simple explanation. Think about it. What is midas hadin? What is midas hachesed? Chesed means that I want to give more and more and more. I want to be mashpia. I want to expand. I want to share. What is gvura? What is midas hadin? Tzimtzum. Constriction. Gvura. Yitzchak Avinu, tied down at the Akedah. Yitzchak Avinu, who never leaves Eretz Yisrael. It's being withdrawn. It's not expanding. So, chevra, on a very simple level, what does it mean, Avi, when you put a mem sofit at the end of a word? It means the word is over. It's not expanding anymore. A regular mem has room for more letters to come. But when you come to a mem sofit, or you come to a nun sofit, or you come to a chaf sofit, that means the word is over. So there's an element of midas hadin. Right? It traps the word. It doesn't allow the word, it doesn't allow the concept to continue to grow, like the midah of chesed. It stops the letter from expanding itself further. Because after a sofit letter, you don't write anything else. That's the end of the word. So now the Rebbe says, okay, so with that yesod, let's talk about seeing versus saying. So let's think about this for a second. What's deeper, seeing or saying? Both in an objective sense and the way that we interact with it in our world today. So look what the Rebbe says. V'nei shinoi bein osios hapshutos shal mansapach lebein osios hakvelos hirak biksav. But the Rebbe points out, and this is such a beautiful yisod, the Rebbe says the difference between a mem, whether it's a regular mem in the middle of the word, or it's a mem at the end of the word, is only in what? Is only biksav, in the way that it's written. We draw it differently. But a mem sounds like a mem. A nun sounds like a nun. A chaf, a tzadi, it always makes the same sound. It's just a question of how it's written in the Sefer Torah. When it comes to how we express it, when it comes to the koach hadibur, ein chiluk beinayim, there's no distinction. A mem is a mem. It sounds like a mem. You know the sound. But if I see how it's written, I could see that, ooh, it's written differently when it expresses itself in the middle of a word, and it's written differently when it's at the end of a word. And therefore, haksav yachol lekabel yoser or me'asher hadibur. Says the Rebbe, apparently writing is able to contain more than speech. Because in speech, a mem is exactly the same. But in the world of writing, there's a regular mem, and there's a mem sofit. There's a regular nun, and there's a nun sofit. So even though in the world of speech, it all sounds the same, but in the world of writing, sometimes there's more nuance. Right? It's expressing something deeper, or something more. Okay? So with that in mind, let's see. Kamo sheroin, as the Gemara tells us, in Maseches Pesachim, lo kmo sha'ani nichtav ani nikra. We know that ksav and dibor have this distinction from our experience of what? Of saying Hashem's name. None of us have ever pronounced the name of Hashem, yud and hey and vav and hey. But we see it written that way all the time. In ksav, it's written that way. In dibor, it's always what? Aleph, dalet, nun, and yud. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not like I am written will I be pronounced. Nichtav Bahavaya, I'm written Yud Kei Vav Kei, but I'm pronounced Aleph Dalet Nun and Yud. Haynu Shaksav Yochol Lahachil Gam Ata Hisgalus Havaya, which means that on the level of writing, Yud Kei Vav Kei is already there, but on the level of conversation, I can't say it. I think you can compare it to a person who has like a diary, you know, or journal, right? So sometimes there are things that you want to express, right, that I wish I could say to someone else or say out loud to myself, and I can't. I just can't bring it out in the realm of dibur. But I'm able to write it down. Sometimes a person has a journal, they're able to express very, very personal, private feelings, things that they don't feel comfortable talking, even to their closest friend or their therapist even, or their spouse, but they feel they need to express it. And the only place that they can give it expression is b'ksav. They can't even say the words. No? Is that a true point? I think it's a true point. To be able to... So sometimes ksav can contain something more than we're ready to talk about yet. And when the difference between, again, let's go back now to the roeh versus the navi, or the tsofeh versus the navi. Tsofeh means to see it. I can see it in a deeper way than I'm ready to talk about it. Right? The navi is able to see things in the future that maybe Klal Yisrael are not ready to hear. We're not ready to talk about. The navi is a person of vision, of perspective. Therefore, so now we understand why dafka, people of great vision. Sorry, where did I just go? Page jumped. Okay. Yeah. This is the inyan that dafka, the sofi letters were said by what? By prophets. But they're not called prophets. They're not called neviim. They're called what? Sofim. They're called visionaries. People of great vision. Why? People who know how to look forward to something, right? To literally look beyond the moment. Or as the Gemara actually says, the prophets weren't the ones who created the Sophie letters, but it was forgotten. And Chazru, they restored them, they went back and they reestablished them. Very, very deep, says the Rebbe. And he's saying this from a place of real suffering. He's saying, we know that what? That the revelation of Hashem that comes from Midas HaDin is even greater than the revelation from Midas HaRachamim. When you're in the dark for a long time and then you finally reach, so to speak, the light at the end of the tunnel, you appreciate it so much more than if you always had the light. The revelation of success after struggle is much more geschmack than if everything was just always good. We like things to be good. We've said many times, we will ask Hashem to be gomel chasadim tovim, right? We want chesed, which is also tov. We want chesed, which is easy to understand. Everything is chesed. Everything is tov. But I want revealed good. But sometimes Hashem puts us through midas hadin for a greater cause. We go to Mitzrayim in order to come out of there and get the Torah. We suffer in order to then emerge. We go through 2,000 years of galus to then be able to really, really enjoy Mashiach. It should be here b'mher b'yameinu. So, chevra, Midas Adin, in a sense, is even greater than Midas HaRachamim. However, when you're in it, when you're in the dark tunnel, Raksha La'ez Ata Kosha La'kabla U'la'asigo V'nasa Mimenu Din V'onesh Chas V'shalom. But until it transforms itself, until that darkness turns to light, until that suffering turns into victory, right, we receive it, we perceive it as what? As punishment and suffering. B'tchila Ala B'machshava. Originally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the intention, Livru Asa'olam B'midas Adin. Hashem's original plan was Bereishis Bar Elokim. That's this week's Parsha. We're back to the beginning. Hashem intended to make a world of Midas Adin. Because there's something more geschmack about Midas Adin. But it's hard, Midas Adin. Midas Adin can be very overwhelming. V'rach mevnei shera she'ena olam iskayim. When Hashem saw the world couldn't survive like that, so he was Meshatev, Shitva L'midas Arachim. He made a partnership between Midas HaDin and Midas HaRachamim. But La'asid Lavo, in the future, Tiavoda Belevi'im V'halacha Kebeis Shammai V'chinas Din K'mashikasa Me'arizal. But the Arizal tells us that right now we paskin like Beis Hillel because Beis Hillel is a little bit gentler. And right now, the Beis HaMikdash Avoda is performed by Kohanim in its time because a Kohen is the personality of Chesed. What's the gematria of Chesed? 72. Plus the three letters is 75 is Gematria Kohen. Kohen is Chesed. Right? A Levi is Midas Hadin. That's like Korach, right? Korach was fighting for the Levium. He was ahead of his time. Korach, right? Tzadik, Katamar, Yefrach, is Sofei Tevos Korach. Korach, his Derech is futuristic. We'll get there. Beis Shammai, Midas Hadin, Bereishis Bar Elokim. Hashem wants to run the world that way, but he can't. People can't handle it. But the Arizal says, Lasa Lavo, we're going to paskin like Beis Shammai. Lasa Lavo, the Levium are going to supersede the Kohanim. Right? It's also the notion of what? It's the notion of a feminine Koach overpowering a masculine Koach. Right now, Zachar is dominant over Nekeva in terms of a spiritual energy. But as you get closer to the end of days, right, and you can see it unfolding in the world, there's a resurgence of feminine power, sometimes manifesting itself in an improper way, right? But that's very messianic. It's very futuristic. We're in a cave at the Soviet Gever, where there's going to be a, you know, some type of reemergence of the moon's lost light, so to speak, right? The sun and the moon were once partners, and then the moon was made small, and the sun is dominant today. But the moon's going to come back. It's Klal Yisrael coming back, right? We're connected to the moon. So all of this, all of these expressions are very futuristic. But right now, we're in a world that is predominantly run, right, by the world of Beis Hillel. It's a world where avodah is performed by Kohanim. It's a world of chesed. Lachein hatzofim, kamo ha-sofe sha-omeid b'makom gavoa. And therefore the tzofim, the visionaries, the prophets who had the vision, the seers, who were able to what? To stand in a high place. Uma b'milamal lamata, were able to see off into the distance. The Nevi'im were able to what? The Nevi'im of vision were able to say, we can understand, we have a perspective to appreciate the Sofit letters. The letters that seem to be what? Constricting. The letters that seem to end words. The letters that seem to be Midas Adin. You have to be a person of big perspective to be able to see how those types of things can have a place. They understood Shaksav, that within writing, Shabo Efshar Lasos Hisgalos Yisera. Within writing, there can be greater revelation and manifestation. Hisgalabo Hisgalos Hagadola Shabachinas Laosid Asher Bedin. The Sofim who have a futuristic look are able to already incorporate. They're not ready to say it yet. We can't say that suffering is good. But in writing, they're allowed to put in letters which themselves are Midas Hadin because they understand that Midas Hadin, Lasid Lavo, is going to be the ultimate way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Okay, David, what did you want to say? I saw you had your hands up.
Oh, I remember when I was on Hashanah Rabbah when we're hitting the Aravot on the floor in the Sephardic Siddur, there was all those Sofit letters and so on. Until one of my rabbi told me I have to keep it in mind.
Right.
I didn't know what that meant.
So now you understand it a little bit better.
Yeah. Right? Wow, it's amazing.
What we're doing is we're trying to somehow sweeten that Midas Adin, or to engage that Midas Adin, right? It's very, again, it's, what are we saying? Kol Mevaser Mevaser Va'omer. We're longing for Mashiach with the Aravos in our hands. So we're saying we want to get to a level where we could see Hashem in this way, where we're big enough Jews that we can handle Midas Adin. Right? Midas HaChesed means Hashem is still like, you know, it's not a nice way to say it. Hashem's like babying us. Hashem's like, okay, like Shefel HaKam, like I'll make it easy for you. But if you want to play the real game, if you want to do the real stuff, you want to live the ideal way, well, you have to have the strength to be able to handle a Beis Hillel. You have to be prepared for a Bereishis Bara Elokim. Right? That's what we're hoping for. That's what we're longing for. Yeah. We get a taste, by the way. Hold on one second, Chavra. We get a taste on Shabbos. Shabbos is a Me'ein Olam Haba, right? Shabbos is a taste of the world to come. So on Shabbos, we actually get a little bit of a taste of the Manpach. Right? Anyone know where we were attended to? In Musaf. Where do we get a taste of it in Musaf? We say Tikanta Shabbos Ratzisa Karbanoseh Tzivisa Per Hashem Sidurei Nisachah. Right? It's going backwards. Taf, Shin, Resh, Kuf, Tzad, Yipay. We go through the Hebrew alphabet backwards. Right? And then we say what? Oz Misinai Mem Nitztavu Nun Tzivoy Tzadi Falea Karaoi Pei Chaf Mansapach Mem Nun Tzadi Pei Chaf. So right after we sort of roll back, whatever that means, going from Taf all the way back to Aleph, right, we have five words in a row that start with Mem, Nun, Tzadi, Pei, and Chaf Sofit. Right? These are the Sofit letters. Misina Nitztav Utsiva Pola Karaoi. That's Mansapach. And the reason that we're able to engage it on Shabbos, the same way that Jeremy's saying, the reason we're able to engage it on Hoshana Rabbah is because of a certain futuristic vision, a certain depth to ourselves. So on Shabbos, which is Me'ein Olam Haba, we're ready to engage the world of Midas Hadin. Right? That's why on Shabbos, it's interesting. You know, what's the first, I don't know, what's the opening halacha? Right? How does Maseches Shabbos begin? It talks about what? Tchumen. It talks about Erev. It talks about staying in your place, not crossing boundaries. Right? That's very Midas Hadin, no? That the Pasuk should say that a person shouldn't leave their place on Shabbos, don't go out to collect the man on Shabbos. Why is there Midas Hadin on Shabbos? Shabbos is such a Kavaldic day. But Midas Hadin is very deep. Midas Hadin can give birth to a tremendous light if understood properly. Right? So there's a greater revelation that comes from Midas Hadin than even from Midas HaChesed. Okay, so let's finish up the piece. So therefore, what says the Rebbe? Mashuchutz me'aksav i'efshar legaloso. So the Tzofim were able to reveal something that could only be expressed in writing. Hainu mikol tzaras Yisrael din va'onesh gilu heim shebe'emes hi esgalus yaseira. The Nevi'im are teaching the Jewish people that your suffering is not in vain. And that's, of course, why the Rebbe is talking about this. That there's greater revelation that comes from hardship. Ra'kevan sh'ha'olam od eno roi l'kabel hisgalus yaseira sh'la'asid nased din va'onesh mizeh. But if you're not able to be makabel it in the right way, so unfortunately, we end up perceiving it as what? As punishment. Lachain pa'aluhem. And therefore, the Nevi'im worked that if we can't yet tell people that your suffering is good because that's too painful for them to hear, al kolpanim b'ksav, at least in writing, ba'osios mansapach, in the writing of the Sofit letters, timshach v'tizgala, godel ha'izgalus, let it at least be hinted to for those who are ready to understand it. And that itself helps to sweeten that Midas Hadin. But again, only someone who has that vision from above. Like the Mesilas Yesharim in the third parak describes the garden maze, where you can see from up top, you can see exactly where to go, where the right turns are, where the wrong turns are. Misha Mabit Milamata. As opposed to a person who what? Who tries to see things from down below. When you're in the tzar, when you're in the dark tunnel, again, you haven't reached the light at the end of the tunnel. It's very difficult for a person who's going through it at that point in order to be able to appreciate the light that is contained within. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu, and of course he always comes back to these psukim at the end of Parsha Shmos. Moshe Rabbeinu Amar LaHashem, Lama Hare Osa La'amaza. Moshe, you're questioning God? Hashem, why are you being so difficult to the Jewish people? Why are you punishing them? Why are you being so evil to them? Why are you hurting them? Ki b'nei Yisrael holchu oz ba'osa machshavos u'dibur mekwa anachtu. Because the Rebbe says to the people who he's sitting with, he's saying, because the Jewish people in Mitzrayim were asking the same questions that we're asking, living in our captivity. We've been sitting here waiting. Any moment now, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to Noshainu. Hashem's going to be our savior. And yet, instead of a Yeshua, we get more tzaros and more tzaros and more tzaros. Right? And of course, the Moshe Rabbeinu is also the Rebbe himself speaking for himself. The Rebbe says, "I don't have any questions, God. I'm not questioning the way that you run the world. I see how everything is truly for the best." But that's very hard for Klal Yisrael to see. What about the people? What about the people who are suffering? The people can't take it anymore. They're not able to see the goodness within it. So now, however, we come to the end of the piece. Says the Rebbe, let's go back to the Gemara we started with. Now that we understand the secret of the final letters, now that we understand why Nevi'im are sometimes called Sofim, people of great vision, futuristic vision, let's go back to the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Tzadi Aleph, where the Gemara said that in the future, the Nevi'im are all going to sing one song, Kol Tzofayich Nasu Kol. What does that mean? Hinei Hayu Nevi'im Sha'amru Toichecha V'shira. Because the Nevi'im, in real time, were not always singing to the Jewish people. They were often issuing very harsh rebuke to Klal Yisrael. The Nevi'im were screaming at the Jewish people, yelling at them. Right? Often we would feel really bad when we were makabel from the Navi. There were Nevi'im who only spoke about the bad things that are going to happen to us because of our sins. But says the Pasuk, and says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the future, Kol Tzofayich, the voice of the Navi, is going to be nothing other than what? Shira. We'll realize that it was all a sweet song. When the Nevi'im were yelling at us, they were yelling at us because they believed in us and they wanted us to be better Jews. It was all a song. At the time, it was a hard song to listen to. It felt like tochacha. Because in the future, we'll appreciate the light that's contained within that midas adin. And everything will be transformed into what? Into the sweetness and kindness of Hashem. And that's what it means that the Nevi'im in the future are going to sing one beautiful song. And it's all going to be song. It's all going to be sweet song. Vaharaya, and the proof is this pasuk. Kol Tzofayich. They're not called Nevi'im. They're called Tzofayich. People who are able to write down the Sophi letters. People who have a futuristic vision. And we have to try to have that in real time. When you're in the dark tunnel, to be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. They could see like a tzofa from a watchtower, from above down below. They're able to see how Midas Hadin is really a tremendous chesed in disguise. And therefore, now we come back to the punchline. And this is what we just celebrated, Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, after making a big, big party for the whole world, I want to have a small party with the Jewish people. Why a small party? Why can't we have a big party? Uveshmini Atzeres, Shubachinas HaYichud HaGadol, Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kanoda. On Shmini Atzeres, which is a day of what? The Jewish people and Hashem united in a very intimate way. Amar Hashem nigalgel ani va'ata b'mashe timtza b'litra basar dog v'yarek. Hashem says a little bit of meat, a little bit of fish, a little bit of salad. V'teida shalo b'sha shetov l'cha levad. Ragam b'shas ha'timtzum chas v'chalila misyachei d'kadosh baruch hu m'yisrael. Hashem says, of course I can make a big party. And I'm sure you'd be happy to bring a lot of big karbanos. But Hashem says, I want to teach you something. I want to teach you how to what? How to feel so close to Hashem, even when what? Even in a time of tzimtzum, even when there's just a little, when everything feels restrictive, there's not a lot of meat, and there's not a lot of fish, and there's not a lot of vegetables, and there's not a lot of mitzvahs, and there's not a lot of learning, and there's not a lot of, you know, etc. The Rebbe is saying, that's what Hashem was teaching us. In those moments, you could still what? You could be bigger than that. You could live beyond that. You could see beyond the ghetto's walls. You could see beyond the concentration camps. You could see, right, like that famous story with the Rebbe Reb Melech, right? You could see what comes next. You could see what comes after. And when we train ourselves to have, again, a little bit of that futuristic view, so then, Amir Tzah Hashem, that itself brings the redemption. Let me show you one nice remez. I've mentioned it to some of you in the past. Definitely we've mentioned it in the shir in the past, but it highlights this point. Right? If you take Hashem's name, just one example of how within Midas Hadin, there's Midas HaChesed. Right? So I always give one example from the Skolia Rebbe. Right? If you spell out the letters of Hashem's name, Aleph, right, Dalid, Nun, and Yod is a name of Din. You can see the letters, right? Din. It has Midas HaDin in it. If you spell out the letters, if you spell out Aleph, Dalid, Nun, Nun Vav Nun, and Yod, whoops, if you spell out the letters, right, and then you extract the inner essence. What does that mean to extract the inner essence? How would you pull out the inner essence of these four letters, right? So first we crack it open, Aleph, we open it up, Dalid, we spell it out, Dalid, Lamed, Tav, we open up the letters, and then we take the Pnimius, we take the middle letters, we take the Lamed from the Aleph, we take the Lamed from the Dalid, we take the Vav from the Nun, we take the Vav from the Yud. Right? We take the middle letter. Each one is a set of three letters. Aleph spelled out is three letters. Dal is three letters. Nun, Yud. So if we take out the middle letters, so we take out a Lamed, a Vav, and a Vav. So Lamed plus Vav is 72 is Gematria Chesed. In other words, what it's hinting to is that buried within Midas Adin is always Chesed. Right? Concealed, hidden within a period of difficulty, of suffering, is always a Chesed in disguise. If a person undergoes a very painful surgery, so that's the biggest chesed. Why are they undergoing a surgery? Because hopefully the procedure will allow them to heal, will allow them to be healthy again. Right now they're sick. So even though the surgery, the procedure is very painful, and the doctor's cutting them open, mamish. But that's a tremendous chesed. That's a tremendous chesed. And he's opening them up in order to perform a chesed. So it's the same thing. You take the name of Hashem, Aleph, Daled, Nun, and Yod, and you crack it open, and you pull out the insides, and you realize that there's a tremendous chesed hidden inside. Okay? Okay, Chabad, let's do a little bit more. I'm not going to read every word inside of the Bereishis piece, because we just did a long piece, but I want to just very quickly go through this piece on Bereishis together. Okay? At least to get to something he comments from our Masechta Makos, which Amir Tzashem will return to on Monday. But in Bereishis, right? We know Bereishis Bar Elokim, this week's Parsha, Baruch Hashem. I want to make a big push. People should try to learn Shnai Mikra Vechetargum. It's a big mitzvah. It's a segula for Arichas Yamim. And that's not found in some strange, lesser-known text. That's what the Gemara says. A person who learns Shnai Mikra will have a long life. Amir Tzashem. So Bereishis Bar Elokim, Rashi says, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Reishis, Bishvil Torah Shenikres Reishis. Right, what is Reishis? Bereishis, on behalf of the Jewish people that are called Reishis, and on behalf of the Torah that is called Reishis. That was what Hashem had in mind when Hashem decided to create the world. Hashem had in mind the Jewish people. Hashem had in mind the Torah. So let's just learn this one Gemara, this one question that the Rebbe asks. Another Gemara in Sanhedrin, 10 daf later. Ki isa b'gemara Sanhedrin kuf aleph amad aleph. The Gemara says the following. Tana Rabbanan. Again, the Torah has a complaint against us. Listen, I'm sure over Simchas Torah we did a lot of singing and a lot of clapping and a lot of dancing, right? And the Torah sometimes says it's nice to see that you're, you know, you like to dance and you like to clap and you like to sing. What about learning? How much learning do you do? Right? So the Torah sometimes is worried that, you know, I'm not just here for you to sing and dance. I want to teach you. So the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan. Akore pasuk shel shir hashirim va'osa osokim in zemer v'kore pasuk v'beis mishtos belozmano mevi ra la'olam. The Gemara is critical of a person who sings songs of shir hashirim, right? Which of course is a beautiful love song, but it's not meant to be used in that way. You're not supposed to make it into songs. And a person who takes psukim and sings them in the beis mishtos, in the bars, in the taverns, right? Not in its time. He brings destruction to the world. Why? Because the Torah adorns itself in sackcloth. Well, the Jewish people, they think I'm just a bunch of, jingles. I'm a bunch of songs to be sung in the bars. Right? I'm so open mic night. You come out and you start singing psukim, shir hashirim. That's what I'm meant to be used for. They've turned me into a musical instrument. Amar la biti. So Hashem says back to the Torah, my beloved daughter, my Torah. B'shosha ochlin v'shosin b'ma yisasku. When they're sitting, when they're eating and they're drinking. So what are they osekin? Amar lefanav ribono sha'olam. I'll tell you. Im ba'alei mikra, hein yasku b'torah. Uvenavim uksuvim. Im ba'alei mishnah, hein yasku b'mishnah b'halachos u'v'agados. Im ba'alei Talmud, hein yasku b'hilchos Pesach v'Pesach, hilchos atzeres v'atzeres, hilchos chag b'chag. So the Torah responds, right? The Torah responds to Hashem, well, you know, what do they do when they're eating and drinking? I don't know. If they know how to learn Chumash, they learn Chumash. If they know how to learn Mishnah, they learn Mishnah. If they know how to learn Gemara and Halacha, they learn Halacha. That's the Gemara. Hey, what was this conversation between Hashem and the Torah? Shall peep shoot o kosher lahavin ma'asha ila shakadish baruch hu shoel la Torah. The Torah is complaining that, you know, they're making silly songs out of me. So Hashem says back to the Torah, well, what do they do when they're eating and drinking? What do they study? What do they read? Right? When they're having breakfast, what do they have open in front of them? The newspaper? No, they got it. They're doing the daf, doing today's daf yomi. Right? So what was Hashem asking the Torah? Why did Hashem ask the Torah, what are they doing while they're eating and drinking? First of all, halo gam hu yisbarach yodeh b'ma yisasku. Hashem knows exactly what they're doing. Hashem doesn't need to ask the Torah questions. Hashem knows everything. So why is Hashem asking, what are the Jewish people up to while they're eating and drinking? And why is it that the Torah responds by going through, well, if they know how to learn Menachos, they learn Menachos. If they know how to learn Brachos, they learn Brachos. If they know how to learn Sefer Yeshua, they learn Sefer Yeshua. Oh, what's with the details? What do I need these details? V'lama parta ha-Torah b'pratios. Why does the Torah respond in such a specific way? Im Bale Mikra. If they know how to learn Chumash, they learn Chumash. If they know how to learn Mishnah, they learn Mishnah. If they know how to learn Gemara, they learn Gemara. V'lo amar b'chla. Why didn't the Torah just say? They learn. I know that they learn. Right? Everyone learns. U'betach kol echad yilmod as asher yachol. Learning means each person learns what's appropriate for that person to learn. The Torah itself just says v'dibar tabam. You should learn. The Torah didn't say, well, if you know how to learn psukim, you should learn psukim. And if you know how to learn Torah Shabbat Peh, you should learn Torah Shabbat Peh. And if you know how to learn to the final halacha, you should learn halacha l'maisa. Doesn't spell it all out. So what exactly was this answer? What was this response of the Torah? What was Hashem asking? And what is this cryptic discussion in the Gemara? So the Rebbe says the following, just very quick, very simple. Ve'efshir limud zchus hu zeh shalom ha'kadosh baruch hu aleihem. Obviously, the Torah was a little upset with us about something, and Hashem wants to defend us. So here's how Hashem defends us. Hisnatzos ala Torah shakorim psukim v'beish mishtavos. You're worried that that the Jews sometimes use psukim in the wrong way. They make songs out of psukim. B'shosha ochlem v'shosim sheyetzahara moshal az aleihem. At a time when they're involved, they're eating, they're drinking, they're involved in physicality. We know that a time that the Yetzirah is present is when we're engaged in physicality, in Gashmias. Right? As the Gemara says very clearly, in Meseches Brachos, Ein Ari Nohe Mitoch Kupa Shel Tevin, the lion doesn't start roaring when it sees a box of straw, Kemitoch Kupa Shel Basar, like when it sees meat. Right? When the lion sees a nice juicy piece of meat, the lion gets excited. So the same thing is true about people. Right, we had a nice kiddush on Simchas Torah. Right? People maybe had a few lachaims, a good piece of kugel. Right, and sometimes that moves us away from Torah. Sometimes that moves us away. Va'alzeh amra Torah. So the Torah says, right. So Hashem says back to the Torah. So tell me. What are they doing while they're right? So you're focusing on the fact that I'd love for them to just sit and learn in the base medrash. Why are they singing Torah songs in the bars, right? Why are they so busy learning Torah while they're eating breakfast or eating lunch? And Hashem says back, well, what are they doing while they're eating lunch? And they say, well, you know, they're learning a little Mishnah, they're learning a little. So Hashem is actually being Malam Yitzchus and Klai Yisrael. V'alze amr Torah im bale mikrahim ki kvar dibarnu shi misha lo me Torah ve'ein gam atzmusa mishtana l'Torah u'kedusha hu rak ka'argaz shenim sabosfar. The Rabbi says, let's talk about how we become transformed by Torah. Right? The Torah responds, well, they are Bale Mikra. What does it mean to be a Baal Mikra? It doesn't say they learn Mikra, it says they're Bale Mikra, they're Bale Mishnah. A Baal means an owner, or sometimes a husband. It implies a deep relationship. So the Torah says, well, the truth is, you know, they are deeply connected to Torah. They are deeply impressed by Torah. Because the Rebbe says, because a person who learns, look at this line, we've said in the past, a person who learns but it doesn't transform his essence is like an argaz. What's an argaz? A box. He's like a box that's full of books. But the wooden box is still just a box. Right? The medrash, we find in the medrash, Rohan Chilukazeb, we see this distinction. Where do we see this distinction? When Rabbi Meir is davening for his Rebbe, Elisha ben Avuya, sometimes referred to as Acher. Rabbi Meir kisharatza lahatzil as Acher megehenim. When Rabbi Meir is davening that his Rebbe should be lifted from Gehenim, he says, Matzilin tik ha-sefer im ha-sefer. We save the what? We save the box, or we save the Sefer Torah cover, along with the Sefer Torah. In other words, he's saying about his own Rebbe, Elisha ben Avuya, who went astray, unfortunately, in the Gemara Chagiga, Hainu shehimshil as Acher rak letik. He's comparing his Rebbe to what? To the box, or to the wrapping, to the cover, shenimsa bo sefer, that has the Sefer Torah within it. Umikol makom, but Rabbi Meir is still arguing, yatzileu kamosh matzil latika sefer ma sefer. The same way that the Sefer Torah mantle has a degree of kedusha to it, even though it's not the Torah itself. So too, even a person what? Even a person who is just loosely connected to Torah deserves to be protected by the Torah. Masha ein ken al Talmud Chacham amiti v'tzadik. But chaver, now he quotes our Gemara. A Talmud Chacham who's a real Talmud Chacham, and again, this should be a tefillah for us as we come back to Yeshiva together. The Gemara says that a real Talmud Chacham, a person who's learning Torah in a deep way, it's not just words on paper, it's not just ideas, on a shelf. It's not a book on a shelf, right? Or in a box. It's not even a, it's not even about having your sefer all, you know, highlighted and marked up and underlined and however you like to learn or you take notes. It's not even about filling up a notebook. It's about filling your heart. It's about being transformed by the Torah that you learn. It's about being a different person. It's about sitting down to learn. When you get up from learning, like the Ramban writes in his famous letter, think about what you learned. Is there something I can apply to my life? I just went through Rosh Hashanah, a Yom Kippur, a Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah. I'm about to come to Shabbos. Is it doing anything to me? Am I a different person? And if it's not, there's a certain superiority that we need to break through. As the Gemara says in Makos, Daf Chav Beis, Kav Shoy, Hanu Inshi, Dekaimi Mikamei Sefer Torah, Velokaimi Mikamei Gavra Rabbah. How tippish, how foolish are those people who stand up for a Sefer Torah, but they don't stand up for what? For a Talmud Chacham. Because a Talmud Chacham is the living embodiment of a Sefer Torah. Hainu Shehim Shul Asol, the Sefer Torah Ba'atzma Va'od Yoser. He's a Torah plus. He's not a Tik Bilvad. He's not just a vessel that's carrying around Torah ideas. He becomes one with the Torah. And therefore, the Torah, Hashem is forcing the Torah to see the good in us. Hashem says, look at these Jewish people. Look how they're transformed by Torah. What are they? Who are they? They're Bali Mikra. They're Bali Mishnah. Vizos Ansa Torah. Im Bali Mikrahim. Im Heim Atzmusam. Nasu Bali Mikra. If you're a person who's deeply, if your atzmios, if your etzem is transformed by Torah, then even when you're eating and drinking, even when you're hanging out with the friends, you're still a ben Torah. You're gonna hang out with your friends. You're gonna go, you know, gonna go to a nice restaurant. You get something to eat. You're gonna whatever. You're gonna enjoy the things of this world. But if the Torah has permeated your essence, so then it goes with you wherever you go. It's not something that you leave on the side. And therefore, says the Rebbe, and again, I want to be Messiah this year because it's late, but the Rebbe says, we'll jump to the next paragraph. V'chein ata, sheyesh lanu minios rabos. Right? Lo shel achila v'shtia. The Rebbe says, our problem is not that we're, you know, we become distracted from too much food. That's our problem. That's us over the course of this last, you know, Yom Tov. Right? Probably a bit too busy enjoying too many Yom Tov meals. The Rebbe says, we have no food and we have no drinks. That's not our problem. But we also have things that are pulling us away from being transformed by Torah. Rak adraba, we're overwhelmed with tzaras and yisurim, rachmana litzlan. Mikol makom halo l'chol ish, it's incumbent upon every person, whatever situation. Halo l'chol ish afilu l'hasochu b'amalacha hayushi'urim l'torah. A person who's a businessman, a person who's overwhelmed by his parnasa, a person who has difficult college classes and a lot of papers to write and exams to take, but he's kovei itim l'Torah in a serious way because he knows that with Torah he's a different person. It transforms him. It's not just another class. L'chein zvaneim shel ha'shi'urim ha'kavuim ba'atzam yazru lanu. Right? By having that kvias in your life, that itself supports you that you shouldn't disconnect from it. By making that commitment. The Rebbe says, in a certain sense, in a strange way, being stuck in the ghetto, as broken as our lives are, in a certain sense, many of us have more time. And I know it's harder than ever to learn, says the Rebbe. But maybe we should be koveya yoser shiurim, meyasher mikodem. Maybe we should have more shiurim and more shiurim, right? To try to be mechazik ourselves. And in the schos of doing that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect us. And therefore, says the Rebbe, let's become Bale Mikra, Bale Mishnah. That's how we're able to overcome all the menios, all the blockage, whatever it is, whether it's, again, an abundance of physical pleasure, if that's what's available to us, or it's an abundance of difficulty, if that's what's unfortunately our reality. But let's remind ourselves, says the Rebbe, Bereishis bara Elokim Eitzah Shamayim Ve'Saaretz. When Hashem built the world, and all of its pleasures and all of its difficulties, Hashem had two things in mind. He had Yisrael, and he had the Torah in mind. And those two things go hand in hand. Even if you think you're living in a world where the world has turned its back on the impetus of creation, on the underpinnings of creation, when the world is against the Jewish people and against Torah values, mikol makom, a Jew has to be mikaveh, mikavim laHashem, sheyizgal b'mehira shuv etzem haolam, that if we can what? Transform our essence through the study of Torah, then the world will reveal its essence, which is a world where what? Where Yisrael and the Torah on top. v'yoshias Yisrael v'hatorah, v'reishas hamachshava yizgala shakol b'shvil hatorah v'yisrael amen. And it'll be revealed to all that the purpose of creation is Torah, and the purpose of creation is Yisrael. So on the one hand, the Gemara is telling us the Torah itself is complaining to Hashem. Sometimes the Jews, they don't take me seriously. And Hashem says, but it's not really true. Look how they are changed by Torah. Right? Look how they become people of Torah. It's true, you know, okay, you'd prefer if they didn't, they weren't always singing your songs in a way that sometimes makes it look like they don't have a deep appreciation for Torah. But look, the Torah changes a person. It transforms a person. And that's how Hashem is melamed schus on us. And again, that's the hope that as we learn and we return to Bereishis Bara Elokim, we hope that the world will be able to appreciate what it's all about. And what it's all about is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for the Jewish people and for the Torah. So we should be zocha to help Hashem to express that reality for all to see. Okay, Asher Kaya Chevra. We're staying down in Sukkah today.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you, Rabbi.